came down to us, gave his life for us. Almighty God, that's a miracle to me. He who despised the sin, gave his life for sinful men. The greatest love came from above when he came down. Of everything we've done, God chose to send his only son. Oh, and let him hang there on that tree and shed his precious blood for you and me. Oh, yes. He came down to us, gave his life for us. Almighty God, that's the miracle to me. He who despised the sin, gave his life for sinful men. The greatest love came from above when he came down. That he came down.
Amen. Amen. All right, we just thank God for his wonderful word. And you know, the Bible is the only book that tells us of a surety where we came from, where we are, and where we're going. Amen. It gives a total, complete picture. There's no other book. Amen. So, those that believe the Bible, they are not in darkness. They see the way that we're going. Amen. And just the written word alone will direct men's ways. And if people would respect just the written word, not saying anything about the spirit of the word here, just the written word, the world would not accept some of the things they're accepting today, would they? As being normal and so on like that. But we want to read today in the book of Job, and we're reading in the ninth chapter to begin with. the book of Job, the 9th chapter. And I want to speak on a word here that the fact is it's the only place that's written in the Word. It's concerning, Job says, a daemon. And we want to look at this. Now, this daemon word that Job used here is a word that haven't survived in our modern language in a way that is something that you hear often. Now, Webster mentioned it, and he mentioned it by giving it the same meaning that Job did. And he mentioned it like umpire or something, go-between or negotiator or something. But as we look at this, we're going to, I believe we'll see a good bit about it here. Now, in the days of Job, it was like a master servant, you know, of the house. Someone that could go to the master of the house and get a petition like some of the workers wanted the day off, we'd say. I wanted the week off. I wanted to go visit a relative or something. Well, they didn't have the privilege to go to the king or go to the master of the house or something. But there was usually a servant that was more recognized, more like Abraham. What was the name of his servant? Eliezer. Okay, we'll leave it there. But he could go to Abraham. Abraham sent him. He'd get a wife for Isaac, and he was one that could go talk to Abraham. And so he was a head servant, a master servant, and he had access. So Job is talking about one here. He would wish he had some access to God, but he said, there is no daemon. There's no one I can go to that can help me to have access to God. Amen. So I want to take a little thought here, and we'll try not to change the title too many times before we get through here. But I want to speak like our revelation going from daemon to bridegroom. Now, between that, we got Mediator, and we got the other different things that Jesus is, the Lamb of God and all. But the final thing for the bride of Jesus Christ is not just someone that can go between us and God, but we're part of Him. We're baptized into His body. See? And we have a perfect relationship with Him, see? Amen. But I want you to look at Job's frustration as we read this. And again, let me say this so that you'll understand. The word daemon hadn't survived in this society in a very vivid way. Maybe in some legal terms it might be used, but it's something you don't hear. And you mentioned daemon. Nowadays, it would not be known what it is. And, of course, Job, they say, is the oldest book in the Bible, older than Genesis and all. But now, those are the things that we... I'm not going to make an argument on that because I really don't know, because Moses wrote the book of Genesis, and he wrote the first five books. And Job didn't mention certain things that is contained in the law that it is assumed that if he knew them and had knows what Moses said and hadn't been before Moses that he would have mentioned some of those things. But I'll just leave that there and not go on with that. But I want to read here in Job 9. I'll just start with verse 30 here. Job says, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. Other words, that was the fear of God. It was the unknownness about God, see? There's a God somewhere. He created the world, but who is He? Where's He at? And I'm afraid they'll go on, we'll read that just. I'm afraid to try to approach in any way to Him, but I know there is a God. Who is He? Where's He at? How can I approach Him? That was his frustration in that time period, say. Amen. And then he goes on here. He says, verse 32, "For He is not a man, as I am, that I should answer Him, and we should come together in judgment." In other words, He's just a total unknown force. Now, Barbara used to play tennis, and so when she was going to college, and she asked the coach one day, it just came upon her, she asked the coach one day, Coach King, and said, "Do you believe there's a God? Or do you believe in God?" And he looked stunned, and he just stared, kept driving the bus. He drove the bus too, hauled him around. And so he finally answered and says, "I believe there's a superior being." See, "I believe there's a superior being." Well, that's kind of what Job was saying here. He's not a man, I know that. But I can't approach to him. And I know he exists. I know there's a God. And we can look out here today. The Bible says, you know, that these things are made known there. And He gives rain and He gives sunshine. And it's known by the things that we see that God exists. But that's not what the bride is interested in, just knowing that. We have progressed from that, going from revelation to revelation to revelation, till we get to the place where we are united with Him, become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Amen. And we don't look at Him as someone that cannot be approached to. Amen. Now let me get the next verse here. And this is the only... the word demons here, and this is the only time in the Bible it's mentioned. Job saying he's not a man that we can approach him. He said, "Neither is there any daemon, betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." Amen. In other words, there's just no way to find out anything. There's no daemon. There's nobody that can put their hands on God's shoulder, lay His hands over on our shoulder, and we can have some understanding about God. He said there's no daemon. Amen. So, that word daemon, if you hadn't heard it, it is a word. But it had, again, the word hadn't survived into the English language and all like that into a major way that you would be acquainted. That's why I took just a moment to explain it there. And verse 34 says, "Let him take his rod from me, and let not his fear terrify me." I'm scared to death of what God might be, you know. Oh, and then when he was chasing or something happened, Job said, "Let him take his rod from me and let me not be so terrified of him." And so you can see his frustration. Oh, I would to God. Oh, I wish there was some way, somehow, that there's somebody that could come between us and God that could just lay their hands on each one of our shoulders. Paul said there's a mediator. We'll get that a little bit here. Amen. And then the next verse says, "Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me." Well, it wasn't in Job's day in that sense. Job said, "I could even talk to God. I could get bold enough and brave enough to have some type of understanding of God." And later on, we find Job saw a whirlwind and so on. And he finally said, "My ears have heard about you, but now my eyes have seen certain things that God did." He got just a bit better understanding, but that daemon was far down the road Amen. And didn't come into being in Job's day. Amen. Now I want you to think here of the frustration that we would have today had it not been for a man called Jesus. Had it not been for the old rugged cross. You heard the song. Amen. Well, that's where Job was at. There wasn't any man called Jesus. There weren't any rugged cross. Amen. But he knew God exists. He said, I'm terrified to death of him. That's verse 34. I'm terrified of him. I'm afraid. I don't know if I'll try to talk to him. I don't know what I ought to try to do. He had some knowledge that he could offer certain sacrifices and so on. And he tried every way he could to really get to where he knowed what would please God. See, he said, let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear, but it is not so with me. Well, do you see what Jesus came for? Amen. Do you see what would we do without Jesus? Oh, what would we do without him? Amen. Just look back to Job's day and you'll see. Amen. In Job's day, there was no way to find out about him. Now, there was no written word. Amen. And there was very little revelation concerning God other than the fact that he exists. And there is a God. And a lot of these things that are happening to me, I'm wondering if it's God putting his rod on me. And I can't say anything about it. I can't speak to him because I'm terrified. I don't know. I'd love to speak to him. I wish there was somebody could come between us, and then I wouldn't be so scared. Amen. Well, Job, amen, what you were looking for was right. It just was a little early, see. Amen. Now, we went from that. Our revelation has gone from Job's daysman to the Savior and to the Mediator and to the Lamb of God and to the Holy Ghost and all the way down through. And the last time we see him as it relates to the bride, amen, John says his wife has made herself ready. So she knows a lot about him. Hallelujah. Amen. And then in this hour, he gave us the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us and to teach us. And we can know his ways by the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So we've been moving on with God, and it's such a privilege. A privilege that we don't realize unless we look back and see. Amen. It's such a privilege to know that we can come to Jesus any day, any hour, any time. And he says, cast your cares upon me because I care. Hallelujah. Amen. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. There's nothing about us that he's not concerned about. There's nothing that we can't talk to him about. And he's near us every day, every hour. Amen. Not only that, he lives within us. Hallelujah. And not only he lives within us, but the Word of God says we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. See? Hallelujah. So Job's day was just a little, it was like the sun began to come up. Job could look and he'd say, evidently there's some type of big light over there. And I'm putting it as the knowledge of God came. Because it's getting lighter, you know. Amen. But now we're over here where the sun, the day star has risen in our heart. And the sun is shining as bright as the noonday sun. And I'm speaking here about the S-O-N. Praise God. All right, let's read a little more here about what God's said about the daemon here. I'm going to get over here in in the book of Timothy, because Timothy talked about a man between us and God. Now, see, this gets it down on understanding where you got a human being, see? Amen. And the Word of God says that Jesus, when He came, He didn't take on Him the nature of an angel. In other words, if you want to talk to Jesus, you're not talking to an angel. Hallelujah. Amen. You're talking to someone that has been a man, that's lived here, and someone that have suffered in all points like as we are, yet without sin, see? Hallelujah. He come down as the mighty angel in Revelation 10. But when we're dealing with Him, amen, it's just not, we don't look at Him like one of God's created angels, which are holy, which are wonderful, and which has never sinned. Amen. But they can't come between us and God. They can't be our daemon. Amen. They haven't suffered in all points like as we are. They don't understand this walk here. Hallelujah. Amen. I was reading something the other day, and somehow I lost track of it. I was going to go back and read it a little more. But it was concerning a certain worm. And this worm could go backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And somehow or another, in its makeup, it didn't know how to turn. You put two walls up there, or put them in the box, you can cut the two sides out of the box. It would crawl out and back in there. It couldn't turn and come another way, see? Amen. So that type of knowledge there, that's down there in the worm family, that's kind of the way we were. That's what Job was talking about. I don't know if I ought to turn left or right. I don't know. I'm terrified. I don't know. See, I just don't know. He said, but I would to God. I wish that there was a daemon that could just kind of put his hand on my shoulder, but that could go between God and myself, that I could find a direction that the daemon would know what to do. Now, the daemons, if we look at it as a servant to the king, the main servant, and we look at Joseph, when he was sold into slavery down in Egypt, that was a man, a very wealthy man, bought Joseph. And as he worked with Joseph, God, the man saw that young man's got wisdom. He knows how to do things. Well, he started moving up the ladder, we would say, and it wasn't long till the man made him ruler of everything he had under the servant of the house. Joseph could do what he wanted to nearly, and he could go to the master of the house any time, but not the other servant. He was a daemon, say. And then his wife got looking at Joseph, you know how the story got, and accused him falsely of trying to come on to her and got the king of the house there, got him angry with Joseph, and Joseph threw Joseph in prison. But Joseph didn't stay there long till God began to give him visions and began to let him interpret dreams. And it wasn't too long till word filtered back down to Pharaoh. There's a man, Pharaoh, God let Pharaoh have a troubling dream. Now watch Pharaoh, there was no daemon. There was no way for Pharaoh to know what the dream meant. Amen. But that was a daemon, see. One of the servants said, hey, when you got upset at me and throwed me in prison, said, I met a man, he told me exactly what would happen to me and that you would restore me back. And told me the fate of the other man that you put in. And Pharaoh says, go bring this man here. See, Pharaoh had a dream and he sensed somehow this dream is from God. Even though he didn't know God in the sense of what God was, the reason I say this, he had his God set up in the palace and he had the different priests and so on, but they were all as dumb as Pharaoh. When it comes to knowing anything about God. old Pharaoh to call all the people in. His wise men told the dream and said, I want you to tell me the interpretation of it. None of them could. But there's a man, I know a man, T. He's a daemon. He can be a daemon too and go between you and God. Amen. And Pharaoh said, send, get him. So they got Joseph and got him cleaned up and got him out of the prison clothes and got him fit to go before the king. And the king said, I had a dream that's troubling me. And said it was concerning seven cattle that was fat. Seven cattle that was lean. And then I had another part of the dream. It concerned seven stalks of corn with good full ears of corn on it. And then I looked, and there was seven over here, and said they was just withered away, blasted. And said, I'm troubled about that. Just like old Job was. Oh, I wish there was somebody, somewhere, that could let me know what God's plan is for this day. See? Amen. Apostle Paul was a good daemon in his time. Amen. For the natural people, because he was in Christ's stead there, you know. But Joseph said, well, let me tell you something, Pharaoh. Said the seven fat cattle is 7 years where the earth going, 7 years where the earth going to produce in abundance. But the seven other cattle, the lean one, that shows that there's coming a famine. It's going to be for 7 years. And the land is going, there's not going to be any grass, nothing to eat. And then the 7 years of corn. It's going to show God's going to let this earth bring forth in abundance. And then there'll come a time there'll be no rain, there'll be drought, and the earth will not bring forth anything. And said, do this that I say unto thee. Now here's the daemon talking. Amen. He could tell God what to do. See, Pharaoh being a type, he was a god of Egypt, you know. He said, appoint you a wise man and let him save back for the 7 years of plenty that you can survive the seven lean years. And said, store corn and do all that. So now get you a wise man. Pharaoh said, there ain't nobody no wiser than you. Said, you've got the job. And he became second to Pharaoh. You see the daemon? Amen. Whatever Joseph said, that's where it was. See, there was no way that Pharaoh could know what it meant. There was no way for Egypt to survive. Amen. The way things went for the next 7 years. But here was a daemon that came right between Pharaoh and Almighty God. And said, this is the way it's going to be. Well, we could go to Daniel and story after story, you know. Amen. How Daniel interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. And all that, and the king's going to put all his astrologers to death. Said, I not only want you to interpret the dream, I want you to tell me what a dream. Oh, but they said, no king would ask that. Nobody would ask such a thing of his wise men. But here come a man named Daniel. He told him exactly what it was going to be and all about the kingdoms and how it came out. Even to our day, it's still coming to pass. Do you see, there was somebody that could come between Nebuchadnezzar, amen, and the Almighty God. And he got an answer, and that answer was 100% true. Now watch, we've got a daemon in our day. We're not out here wondering. Now that's what denominations are doing. They need a daemon real bad. They don't know whether you should sprinkle, whether you should say hocus pocus, two bugs in a locust, and sprinkle a little water on somebody. They don't know. They've got no daemon. They don't know him. They know a denomination, but not the mediator. Hallelujah. They don't know where the answer's at. Jesus is the way. He was the way. And we look at, my throat's just a little bad. I hope you'll pardon this. But we look at Philip on his way. He was in a big revival, but there was a eunuch on his way through the desert. And he could read. He believed in God. But he had no idea the way and all the symbols. He had no idea what it meant. The Bible says he was reading there in Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 53, if you want to read it. He says, here this book says, that as a lamb he was led to slaughter. He opened not his mouth. And went on, and he says, is this prophet here talking about himself or someone else? He had no idea. And today, people have no idea, amen, what's going on in the world today. He's getting a wife ready, and they don't even know it. Is that right? Well, Philip, the Bible says, begun at that scripture. I like that. He had some scriptural backing for what he was going to say. The Bible says he begun at that scripture and preached Christ to him. He was a demon. He came between. He was someone that could direct their ways to God, the man's ways to God. And the man came by a water hole there, going through the desert. They came to an oasis. And as they got to the oasis, the eunuch says, here's water. What does hinder me being baptized? Eighth chapter, book of Acts. Well, he didn't know. He didn't know who this was. He didn't know who the lamb was. He didn't know who was slain or anything about it. But Philip explained thoroughly who it was, and he got to the water. He said, here's water. Why hinder me being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, see, thou shalt be baptized. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Here come a demon. And in this religious world, when the church ages are over, amen, when the seals have been opened, and when the world is going on its own way, amen, there's a demon, Christ Jesus come back, amen, and he clothed himself in human flesh, hallelujah, and he clothed himself through the not only the ministry, but members of the body of Christ. Takes on flesh, last week's message. Amen. There's a demon that knows exactly what's going on today. That knows exactly, amen, because they know Jesus. Amen. Paul is saying here in 1 Timothy, I want to read that to you again here. he says in 1 Timothy, this is chapter 2, I'll just get verse 5 here. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified of due time. He said, now watch the date, watch Paul, sir. He said, I'm in crisis still now. Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. Watch this. I speak the truth in Christ Jesus, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and variety. Amen. So I'm going to plow on through this here a little longer. But that day star, a demon, Job, he knew nothing about him. He would have loved to find out how he could please God. See, he said, I'm terrified. Now, there's some put a demon up as a statue of Mary in the church. Amen. There's some that puts a statue of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. That's the demon. No, he's in the spirit, say. Amen. He came back in the form of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And that was to teach us, lead us, guide us, until the time He comes in the last day to marry His wife and take her out of here. How many believe it? Amen. So our frustrations is over with. Paul said there in Ephesians chapter 4, that once we become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, that's chapter 5, going on chapter 4, he said we're no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but we reach the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus, and says we begin to edify one another, every joint supply what's likened to the other joint. There's your demon right here among us. Hallelujah. We become that. Hallelujah. Amen. You represent the demon in the earth today. Praise God, because He come into you. You're in His stead. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. So we don't have to wonder in frustration. How could I please God? I'm too afraid to try to approach Him. I'm too afraid. I'm terrified. I'm just a nervous wreck. Amen. Oh, I wish somebody, somewhere, somehow, a demon would come, put his hand on God's shoulder and put it on my shoulder and let me know what it takes to please God. And then I wouldn't be so scared. Then I could approach Him. Then I could talk to Him. Well, that has all taken place. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ, in His fleshly, earthly body, first He came to the Jews, a minister. He told them how to please God. Told them what to do. But did they do it? No, sirree. Amen. Because they had their religion and they listened to it. But here was the demon came that told them exactly what they needed to do to be right with God, see. Amen. But they said, crucify Him. He's of the devil. And says, He's insane. He said, I was before Abraham was. Amen. They said, the Jews came, and Jesus, the demon, come and let them know that they could have connection with God, that the Lord would set them free. They said, we've never been in bondage. We're Abraham's children. We were born free. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd know who I am. He said, for before Abraham was, I am. They said, now we know he's got a devil. He's not even 50-year-old. He's lost his mind. The devil's talking through him. He was back there with Abraham in Abraham's day. This man's lost his mind. This man's got a devil, they said. Amen. And Jesus told them, says, we know Abraham. We have Abraham. Jesus said, if you'd known Abraham and really known who he was and what Abraham was to do and were part of Abraham, said, you'd know who I am. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Here stood the demon, and he was rejected. Amen. And it came in Paul's day. Paul tried to bring that church together and preach that word. They cast him out of the city, whipped him, beat him, and even left him for dead. And he said, I am in Christ's stead. Amen. I am the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentile. Hallelujah. Read the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, how the whole city, he preached against their god Dionysus and all that, their false gods. Amen. They were ready to kill Paul. But the word of God went right on. That demon went right on. Amen. In the days of Noah, that was one that had the word of God that said there's coming judgment upon this old world, and says it's just hanging right above your head. Said God's going to send a flood and kill everything on earth that breathes there. But what's in the ark? And they made fun of him. They ridiculed him. And no doubt throwed rotten fruit at him, whatever they could do in that hour.
And they thought he was crazy, but that was God. That was a man between God and man telling what to do. Amen. There's a ministry today. Amen. It's called a fivefold ministry. Amen. I'm not talking about somebody that says they're a preacher. They don't know what's going on. Amen. If they're a preacher, they'll be under apostolic leadership, say. Hallelujah. There is a message today. Amen. And there's Christ saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's still the way. Amen. He haven't left us without witness. Amen. And we don't have to do like Job, raise his hand in frustration and say, I'm terrified. Oh, I wish there was some way I could know for sure. Amen. Well, there is a way to know for sure. Amen. You can ask God for His leadership, the Holy Ghost, and He'll lead you and He'll guide you into all truth. And He'll send a word for you that's going to bring the life that was in that blood in this fleshly body, and it's absolutely going to translate it. Hallelujah. That same life that was in the blood of Jesus. See, Jesus, when He was here, there in the garden, He prayed and Lord, let this cup pass from Me if it be possible. And God said, okay, go ahead and call angels and destroy the world. Said, you've never sinned. He neither sinned nor was guile found in His mouth. He could have went right on living, amen, and never died. He said, no man take My life. You couldn't. Amen. Because the life of God flowed through those veins. See? Amen. He said, I lay My life down and I take it back. See? Amen. Why did He do it? He didn't have to. But the Word of God says He tasted death for every man. There's our demon. Amen. Come and we don't have to die. Amen. And pretty soon we're going to pass the point. And only God knows where the line's at when we cross. But it'll be we'll be revelated to it when the time occurs. And it could be any day now. Where we'll come to a place where we can say, oh death, where's your sting? Hallelujah. Oh grave, where's your victory? Hallelujah. And the Bible says there in 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, Paul speaking, that we which are alive and remain till this take place, says we'll not have to die. We'll be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye because we'll meet the Lord in the air. Amen. The life that was in that blood, amen, will flow into these bodies here, translate us, amen, we're going to rapture. And that life of that blood, amen, I'm not talking about the chemistry, but the life of that blood, then as a mortal people goes on into the eternal age, God will reach over. And the Bible says, amen, He'll lift the death sentence. He'll lift the curse. There'll be no more curse there. He'll lift the curse off. He'll bind the devil and man going to start living eternally in their natural body. Because that life, what He does, He put that life that was in Jesus' blood, not the chemistry. Some people say, I got the blood flowing in my vein, and I do too. Well, speaking spiritual blood. Amen. There'll be a people that's living now that will never, ever, ever die. Even those, they don't even get a glorified body. The people live in the millennia as natural people. See, because the life of that blood will come in. Amen. And it'll put eternal life not only to the soul, amen, but to the body itself. Hallelujah. Those that are born and raised in the millennia, amen, and those that goes into the millennia where He separates the sheep from the goat and say, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, that'll be mortal people that'll go into the millennia. They'll never die. The only one that'll ever die is those that just refuse to obey God's Word and they're hell-bent, we would say, on breaking the Word of God. And God will give him 100 years. That's Isaiah 65, 66. Sinner died 100 and so on like that. Amen. But they'll come to the great white throne judgment, still alive. Amen. Natural, mortal people. And as the books open their names there, they'll enter right on into eternity. And that's the nation. That's the saints that Revelation 21 and 22 speaks of. The nation will bring their honor and glory into the city. See? There'll be natural people there. And the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nation. There won't be any sickness, but any ill feelings get among the kings of the earth. Amen. They'll just come in the presence of the bride. Hallelujah. And all that'll go. Amen. Then the lion, you know what's going to happen to him? He's going to become tame. God's going to change his appetite. Amen. Those big long teeth that are just to tear meat. Amen. They'll all be gone. And they'll be like the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Amen. Isaiah. Praise God. Why? Because I was a demon. There's somebody today that can point the way. Amen. Job said, I know there's a God, but I feel so helpless. I feel like I can't get in touch with Him. And I'm terrified. I'm afraid to try to talk to Him. If I try to talk to Him, I can wash myself in snow water. I can get clean and I'm just afraid He'll throw me in the ditch, you know. I'm terrified. I would to God there was somebody, some way, a demon that could put his hand on me and put his hand on God that I wouldn't be so scared that I'd know the way. Well, not only do we know the way came down, and we do know Him. To know Jesus Christ is to know the way. Amen. And to know His operation in this day and in this hour. Amen. As He has come. To the Jews, He was the way. But they rejected. On the day of Pentecost, God came down. Christ came down in the form of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Peter preached the way there. Repent, everyone. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They threw them in jail and beat them and whipped them. But the elected found the way. Amen. I have found the way. Glory to God. And then when God got ready to get a wife, man, Peter couldn't be a demon. I want you to notice this now. Peter couldn't be the one to go between Christ and his wife. Amen. Christ and the Gentile. Peter wasn't the one. Peter didn't understand some of the things that was said in the Old Testament. Now you read in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul began to look in the Old Testament. He found some scripture said that in him would the Gentiles trust. The Gentiles would praise his name. And Paul said, God's made me that minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles. He said that Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision. Romans 15:8 said, I am the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentile. So he became the demon. And then we go over to Acts in the book of Galatians chapter 2. As the gospel got rolling, amen, from Pentecost went on to the Jews. And the Jews, the apostles, 12, went everywhere preaching the gospel. And they preached, the Bible says in the book of Acts, 11th chapter, they went everywhere preaching the gospel to none but the Jews only. But now God needs a demon to get him a wife. So Paul was upset about this way. He was persecuting the saints on his way to Damascus. He said, these people think they know about God. They don't know about God. And he was hauling them to prison and beating them and whatever was necessary to stop it. Then the light struck him down. Here come the demon now. Here come God getting him a demon. Here come the demon getting him a demon to represent him, see? Amen. Elias struck him down, and Paul said, Lord, who are thou? He was fear and trembling, just like Job. He didn't know what to do. And the boy said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Says, go into Damascus, and it'll be told you what to do. Amen. And as Paul went forth, amen, God anointed him. Amen. Said, Paul, I'm going to make you a light to the Gentiles, delivering them from the power of Satan to the power of God. I'm going to make you a demon to introduce my wife to me. 2 Corinthians, I'll just read that to you here. It's the 11th chapter. 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians 2 and 3 says, for I am jealous over you, this is Paul speaking, with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband. Now here was a man that knowed. Peter never one time mentioned the Gentiles as being the wife of Christ. I want you to watch this. He couldn't be this person. See, he was like Job in a way because it weren't his job. He didn't know. Them Gentiles, far as he's concerned, they were dogs. Amen. Salvation was to the Jews. You remember when God sent him over there with the key to open the door? God had to let it sheet down with all kind of four-footed beasts. And says, rise, kill, and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. Amen. Not so. Nothing coming unclean come in my mouth. But Peter said, there's men at the gate now waiting for you. Said, go with them. And besides that, what I've clean call not coming unclean. He went over and preached one sermon to the Gentiles. Went back to Jerusalem. The 11th chapter of the book of Acts tells how those other apostles scolded him, said, thou wentest unto the unclean, thou did eat with them, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And he didn't go back. But here was a man God's already put his hand on. A demon. And this man knew God was going to have a bride. Amen. Knew Christ was going to have the bride. And knew he taught things Peter didn't speak on. He spoke that we could be baptized into the body of Christ by one Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. He preached the 9 gifts and many things. He said, now you're going to become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You're married to him. Now we got a demon. Hallelujah. Amen. He got us engaged and told us about a marriage. Now the marriage is about to take place. Here come the little book, the demon in the form of Jesus Christ in the Spirit. Amen. Revelation chapter 10 brings the little book back. Hallelujah. Here's our demon. We know the way now. We know what it takes to please God. We know there's a wedding. We know that all denominations and church systems are missing the way. Amen. But while he marries his wife. Amen. God bless you this morning. Amen. There's other scripture that but my throat's going away on me here. To the extent I feel like it'd be just as well go ahead. But in Revelation, the 19th chapter. Paul sees the bride, not just the bride. Paul sees the bride, not just as a virgin. She went from being a spouse to being married. She went from being a virgin unto becoming bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. So God still has demon here. Glory to God, the mighty angel come down, he's our demon. That's why the whole body prophesy, male and female, hallelujah. And there's a fivefold ministry right in the midst of all that. Glory to God, declaring the truths of God for this day and this hour, because there's a translation about to take place, when these old mortal bodies going to take on immortality, when the dead's going to be raised. Hallelujah, I'm not worried. I'm not scared. Somebody said, I'm so scared about what the world's going to be, what's going to take place. And I was listening at some of these folks that tried to control this year atomic powers. And they talk like the whole world, if they're not real careful, blow the whole world up, life will not exist on the planet anymore. And they said there's enough of those bombs now to do the earth seven or eight times over. Kill all life. Amen. And said the future, it's scary to look out in the future. Well, it's not scary to me. It looks bright. Job says the path of a righteous man, there's a light that shines more and more into the perfect day. We've heard the demon. Amen. He put his hand on our shoulder and the hand on the shoulder of God. And not only have we heard him, we're in him. By one spirit we're baptized in. And not only that, we got his own mind so we know perfectly the will of God. Amen. How many knows it? We're operating by the mind. So, going from Job's demon to our bridegroom. Our king and bride. We go through all these. He become all that. And he always has his representative here on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. He always, through the church ages, and I've got to stop here. Through the church ages, I was a man that was a demon for that age. Oh, I could get this, but I covered this over in Zimbabwe, when I preached obtaining that which was previously unattainable. See, that was a sealed book up in heaven. Oh, we wondered about it. Oh, if we could only know what's in that book. If we could only know what them seven thunders said. If we could only know these things. Well, got news for you. God had a demon here to interpret what the seals were. Amen. But God's alive today. Christ has come back. Revelation chapter 10. Amen. And not only did he come back, he brought us a book, brought us something to eat. Amen. Made of his wife, baptized us into his body. Now we're a word of his word. Amen. We're mind of his mind. Amen. There's our demon. Now are you fearful? Are you fearful, afraid that you might displease him? Would you like to hear from him? Would you like to know what it takes to please him? Amen. Well, Job's demon has become our bridegroom. Amen. And he gave us his mind. We know what he likes. We know what he don't like. Amen. And we're part of him. God bless you today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, Lord. After ministering on the Word of God here, I just pray, Lord, that you'll just take this Word and use it and let it be an open door for revelation to come through for your bride in this end time. That all the remaining revelations that are to be made known, oh God, let this be a plant that we're planting today. And let it be, Lord, that it'll be watered by the Holy Spirit and by your saints, Lord. Oh God, till it grows forth and blossom forth in the hearts and minds of all of your children. Amen, Lord, that we'll have the full revelation right up until the rapture. Everything that we'll need. Oh God, that we don't have to be fearful of the future. We don't have to be fearful of anything come our way. Amen. But you said, my peace I leave with you, Lord, and we've took it, we've embraced it, and we're happy with it. Lord, we love you and we appreciate you. Now bless this word, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you today.